Living Hope Assembly of God.
And if you have your Bible, if you'll turn with me to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. I like the King James. I think it says something like, I shall not want. That's heavy. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, or I shall not lack nothing. That means that he is the all-sustaining God, amen? He's Jehovah Jireh. He's God, our provider. He's our protector. He's our strength. He's our ever-present help when we are in trouble. All of us, we go through times in life where, man, there comes moments in our life where we find it hard to trust God. When the storms are raging in our life, it's difficult at times. But I'm reminded of my own kids. When the storms come, guess where they go? To mom and dad. When the lights go out in the house and they awaken out of their sleep, the first thing they do, Daddy! Mama! Because they know where their help comes from. When we are afraid, we need to understand that we can call on the name of Jesus. And he's not going to be slack, but he's going to come quickly because we are his children. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Every now and then my kids, I can tell, especially my youngest daughter, whenever she's getting restless, we make her to lie down. Every now and then God does, he makes us to lie down when we get grumpy spiritually. We start complaining a little too much. He causes us to lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside the quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. For whose name's sake? His name's sake. Listen, at the end of the day, when we represent God, your name's not in jeopardy. But his name is to be represented properly because we are speaking and living on his behalf for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This morning, for a thought, I want to leave with you. If God is leading, I will follow. There's a lot of leaders in this world today, but if God is leading, then I will follow. I'm not saying when God is leading, things are not going to get bad. I'm not saying when God is leading, things are not going to get tough and life is not going to get hectic, because I promise you one thing is for sure. If you're following God, there's going to be some turbulence in your life. There's going to be some times where you're going to be like, okay, what's going on here? Things are really scary. But it's in those moments, there again, we need to trust him the more. Here in our text, this psalm is ascribed to King David during a time that he was on the run from his son Absalom. It is believed that David was in a period of his life where he dreamt of being home in the palace among those that he loved and was loved by. Instead, he found himself in the wilderness of life, displaced from everything and everyone that was familiar to him. During this time, David was faced with fear of uncertainty, wondering if he would live or if he would die. Can you imagine being David in our text today? See, most of us, the psalm would have gone a little different. A lot of us, we would have been wondering, oh God, where are you now? No, in the hardest point in David's life, when his son Absalom had came against him, David said, Lord God, I know that you are my shepherd. Do you hear me this morning? I don't know about you, but if my son had grown to be an adult and instead of him going to the city gates like David expected him to do and build David's name up, his son went to the city gates and belittled him indirectly to the people that stood about. And he said things to this nature of, if I were the king, I would have done things like this. If I were the king, I wouldn't have handled it like my father David has handled the situation. And we see in another psalm where David is talking about that I would have understood. He heard the whispering and he heard the people talking about him. And he said, I would have understood if these accusations would have come from my enemies. But it's the ones that I hold hands with as we walk along the way to the temple. Do you hear me today? David is at a place in his life where turbulence is all around him. And oftentimes life will bring us to the very place where David is in our text, a place of uncertainty and a place of wondering. I love how David's trust, regardless of his pending situation, was not altered due to his circumstances. And this is where God wants us to be, where we have an unshakable faith. Amen. See, when we have an unshakable faith, the enemy is like, whoa, I don't know what to do with this individual because I can throw this at them, I can throw that at them, but they are not moving. Why don't we stand up and be a church that is unshakable because our faith is in Jesus Christ? Because he is our shepherd. Listen to what David said in Psalm chapter 4, verse 8. In peace. You got to understand, David was at a difficult time in his life. He said, in peace, I will lie down and sleep. How many of you ever had a time in life where it was on a job, whether it was with your family, your children, or your health, where your sleep was robbed from you? I promise you, God doesn't want your sleep to be robbed from you. And I promise you, when we lose our sleep, when we find ourselves restless, a lot of times the reason being is because our focus is on the wrong thing. We're following the wrong thing. That we need to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Listen, he is the author, he is the creator, he is the starter of your faith. He is your father, he is your God, he is your defender, the author and the finisher of your faith. So what that tells me is that he has the last say so. And David understood this in our text today. He understood that God has the last say. And when we understand that God has the last say, I don't care what comes our way, God is going to deliver. God is going to see to it that his plans are going to prosper. That I know the plans and the thoughts that I have for you, saith the Lord. If God knows it, you better believe that he is the one that is superintending over it. There's not a force of darkness that can stop the plans of God when we're walking and following. I want you to hear that. There is nothing that can stop the plans of God for your life, for our church, when we're following God. So what that tells me is that I can stop it. But the enemy cannot stop it. Are we following God? He says, "For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety." In other words, David allowed God during the hardest times of his life to be Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace. How many of you need peace? How can one find peace in a world filled with enmity, strife, and anxiety except we look to Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, our provider? Psalm 124:8 tells us our help is in the name of Jehovah who made heaven and earth. Where's your help? It's in Jehovah, in his name, the one who created the heavens and the earth. David here in our text readily recognized that no matter where he was in life, God was there with him. He recognized that not only was God there with him, but God would provide, protect, and guide him no matter what severity of the circumstance or situation may have befallen him in his life. No matter what you're going through, God is going to see you through when you're following him. The first thing that I noticed out of the text this morning is that David takes ownership of who God is in his life. In other words, David understood his position in God. In other words, David recognized not only his position, but David recognized the greatness of God. David recognized that a shepherd was something, was someone who would not only lead the sheep, but the shepherd is one who protects the sheep. In fact, the shepherd is one that will lay down with the sheep and sleep with the sheep and wake up with the sheep and understood the nature of the sheep. So in other words, God and David understood that God knew about his ins and his outs. That God not only knew the situation, but God understood the very things that were going on in David's heart. And I need you to understand today, if God is your shepherd, God knows what you need. God knows where your destiny is going. And God understands. That's why Jesus came, so that he could understand our pains. He could understand our hurts. He could understand our hang-ups. He could understand why we fall on our face so much. Guess what, sheep? We're just like the representation in our text. We are sheep of his pastures. I want you to understand something about sheep, and I don't want you to take it as an insult. Sheep are not very smart. Sheep can't see very well. That's why they need a shepherd. That's why we need a shepherd, and his name is Jesus, so that he can guide us. All days in the places that he guides you may not be in green pasture and beside the still waters. Every now and then you got to go through the valley of the shadow of death. But you got to understand, church, when you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, you're not going there alone. The devil wants us to look at the valley and the darkness, but instead of looking at God, you wonder why so many believers fall on their face. And we're in a day and time where preachers are preaching that it's okay to stay on your face. But I heard in God's word where it says that the just man falls 7 times, but he riseth back up. Why does he rise back up? Because his focus is on Jesus. And Jesus doesn't want you to stay on the ground. He wants you to get back up and get back into the race. David took ownership. In verse 1, David says that the Lord is my shepherd. The translated word for shepherd is pomane, P-O-Y-M-A-N-E, which means properly a shepherd, a pastor in the Latin, figuratively someone who the Lord raises up to care for the total well-being of his flock, the people of the Lord. Within the context of this passage of scripture, God is David's feeder. He is David's protector, and he is David's ruler. David understood that if he was going to overcome the disappointments of life, God would have to be his all-sustaining provider and help. If you're going to overcome the things in life, you have to allow God to be your provider. You can tell a believer because they're always going to do two things, one or two things. They're always going to give credit to God. And a believer is someone who will always be found in the house of God, seeking God, longing to be with God. Because they understand that if they're going to eat like sheep, the sheep are depending on God to feed them. That's why David said that I can't. That's why I was glad when they said unto me, let us go. Because David understood that he couldn't get what he needed sitting at home. David couldn't get what he needed just by mere reading. And just by mere meditating, David understood that what he needed was in the presence of God, in the presence of the people of God, and just engulfing in the things of God. There are some people today in churches that fail to trust the leading of God. Many of them wonder why their lives are unstable and out of control. It is simply because they are not allowing God to be at the head of their lives. They fail to have confidence in his ability to guide, provide, comfort, and protect them through life. This morning, I want to talk to you about the Shephelah. In verse 2, David says that the Lord makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. When we think of green pastures, we generally think of Ireland and its rolling hills. Amen? In reality, much of Syria-Palestine would have been just opposite. Much of the land would have been rocky and barren, not allowing much area for grazing. This would have caused the shepherds to constantly look for places to graze their flock. One of the most popular areas for grazing would have been the Shephelah. The Shephelah is a flat area land that lies directly between the west of the central and eastern mountain range in the Mediterranean. The Shephelah was popular because it would produce a green-like plant that would come up overnight because of the moisture in the air that came from the Mediterranean Sea. However, the downside to this plant was that it would be gone by mid-morning. We got to understand that it was strategic, that it was timely, that it was planned, that the shepherd will have the sheep in this strategic place at the right time. Do you hear me, church? God has a plan for you. And sometimes when God doesn't do it on our time, we go and create our own time. And the next thing you know, we're following our own method. We're doing things our way instead of doing things God's way. And we find ourselves off of the track and the plan and the desires that God has for us. And the next thing we do is blame it on the devil instead of blaming it on ourselves. Instead of blaming the devil so much, and I know he is an opportunist and he takes advantage of situations, but for the believer, if we follow the plan of God, greater things are yet to come for our lives. Amen. What happened to this plant to keep its moisture for a period of time was that the eastern mountain range is over 5,000 feet in elevation and the central mountain range is over 2,000 feet in elevation. So as the sun would rise from the east over the mountains, it would cast a shadow over the Shephelah. So it was very important that the shepherds brought their sheep early in the morning to this area. What would happen as the sun would rise over the mountains? It would cause this green plant to wither and eventually die. So as the shadow would shrink, the shepherd had to constantly move forward towards the mountains with the sheep. One of the problems with the church today is that we have a tendency to think that God is on our time instead of us being on God's time. The Bible says in Psalm 27, 13 through 14, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What I hear out of that text, I believe that I shall look upon the Lord in the land of the living. So what that is telling me is that this psalmist had a measure of faith. What he was expecting had not happened yet, and he was waiting for it. You don't believe me? Let's keep reading. He goes on to say, abruptly, wait for the Lord. He's encouraging God's people because they're in bondage. They're exiles at this point. Have you ever been spiritually exiled and removed from the very plans of God by the enemy, and God, you remembering God's promises, that what he said he was going to do, but you, in order to receive that, you have to learn to wait. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. We need some strong believers. We need some people who are strong in the faith. And let your heart take courage. And he says it again. Wait for the Lord. Wait for him. Wait for him. Many of us have a problem with waiting. Have you ever come in the house hungry? You're tired of waiting. I'm hungry. I need something to eat. And some of us, we rush things and we go to other pastures and try to find food to eat. I hear the voice of God saying, wait. Everything that looks good is not often good for you. And everything that tastes good is not often healthy. Every now and then, God wants us to eat some green vegetables. Has great benefits. We can't just feast on hamburgers and french fries all of our lives and expect to be healthy. A lot of us like the candy side of God's word. We like a lot of grace, but when it comes to discipline, and faith, we're like, I don't want any of that. But God is challenging us today. He's saying today that if you want to be who I have called you to be, you have to learn to follow me. One of the first things that happened to Jesus after he came up out of the water and the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove and a voice from heaven spoke, what happened? He was drove, Mark said, into the wilderness. By who? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And while he was in the wilderness, who was waiting on him? Satan. I need you to understand that God drove him into the wilderness. The wilderness is not a good place. In the wilderness was a time of testing. In the wilderness was a time of trial. And man, for 40 days, Luke says it like this. For 40 days, he was tempted by the devil. It's one thing to be tempted by the devil, then it's another thing to be hungry. It's one thing to be tempted by the devil, but it's another thing to be hungry. 40 days. I'm talking about the great tempter. I'm not talking about some little meager temptation. The Bible says that the devil took him to an exceedingly high mountain. Whew. How could he do that? That's God. The devil is the prince of this world, the father of the air, the prince of darkness. He has a certain dominion and authority. And sometimes we take it for granted. The sheep that listens to the voice of the enemy often finds themselves given in to the temptations. When we're not following God, that's when life really becomes a struggle. And we stop going from victory to victory, and we go to failure to failure. Am I making sense this morning? In spite of the difficulties, the psalmist in Psalm 27 leads his listeners into a deeper faith. He is strongly convinced that the Lord will come to the rescue of his people. They're in bondage. Listen to what he said again, and we're getting ready to wrap this day up. This is what he says. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I believe. I know the troubles are all around me. I know that life has dished me a bad set of cards, but I believe that I shall see the prosperity of the Lord. I believe that the favor of God is on my life. I believe that God is going to save and deliver and set free my lost loved ones. I believe, because I remember, have you ever been that parent? Have you ever been that person where you heard so distinctively the voice of God speaking to you and saying that I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. This is going to happen and that is going to happen in your life. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, seemed like life begins to be so chaotic. Have you ever been there? I have been there. I was there just a few years ago, and I have been there time and time again. But in those seasons, just like Jesus, when he was in the wilderness, he began to just spit out the words of God to the devil. That's why it's good to have the word of God in you. It spoke to who Jesus was following. And in my season of going through the toughest times in my life, the only thing that I had to revert back to was the word of God. The only thing that I had to really rely, that I chose to rely on, was God's words and God's promises and what God said he was going to do. And I never forget, people began to pour into my life and they begin to say, Pastor Charles, it is not about you, but it is about what God is doing inside of you. And I begin to meditate on that thing, and I begin to say, God, whatever you're doing inside of me, you go ahead and do it, because I know that you are protecting me. I know that you have called me, and if you called me, you're going to take me through this season, and at the end of the day, I'm going to come out as pure gold. A diamond cannot be a diamond unless it's pressed. A successful student in the world of academics cannot be a success until they are tested. And it's in those seasons, those rough seasons of our life, when we're tested, it seems like God is nowhere to be around. If you don't believe me, I wish we could talk to Jesus verbally. He would tell us that he came to a place where he said, oh my God, why have you forsaken me? The shepherd, God, felt like he was forsaken by his father. Every time, not my will, not my will, but your will, not my plans, but your plans, not my way, but your way. I know you see the valley, and we're going to talk about the valley in another message. But I know you see the valley. I know the valley looks scary. I know the valley is a tough place. But you got to remember who you're walking with. I remember growing up, I grew up in a big family. You can stand if you will this morning, and we're going to let you guys go home if you'll stand. I grew up in a big family. But I'll tell you what, I was a tough little knucklehead. I got my nose bloodied several times, and I bloodied several noses. And I had to run. Like Kenny Rogers said, you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, know when to run. I was that person. But boy, I come from a big family. And if there were some of my older cousins walking with me, bad man. I knew I wasn't going to lose a fight that day. I remember being in fights where every now and then I was on the bottom of the pile. And every now and then some of my big cousins were with me, and they would come and they would turn me over and turn that kid off of me and put me on top of that kid. You may say that's cheating. But if you were on the bottom, you would understand the appreciation behind someone coming and flipping your enemy off of you and placing you on top of your enemy. Do you hear what I'm saying, church? God is walking with you. The question is, are we walking with God? There were times we would go to football games and you would say, Pastor Charles, is that all what you did was fault? Yes, probably so. And next thing you know, someone would come up and we'll be in confrontation, and I knew earlier that some of my older cousins were going to be at the football game as well. And I would prolong things until I saw a red Letterman jacket coming through the crowd of people. And I knew that was one of my older cousins that protected me every opportunity he had a chance. I looked up to those guys. I followed those guys because they protected me. The flip side of that, whatever you're facing today, whatever you're going through, we have Father God who is our shepherd. And the bully, the devil, and his cohorts, they're going to get a bloody nose today. Jesus doesn't need an entourage. He's coming alone. An enemy is going to stand at bay. Yeah. Do you believe that today? That whatever you're facing, if God is for you, He's more than all of them that are against you. I think it was Elijah told his young steward, close your eyes. And he said, Lord, show him. Sometimes we just, when the storms get tough, we need to close our eyes. And when we open our eyes, because we've been praying and talking to God, things will start to look different. You'll bow your heads today. Whatever you're facing, maybe the darkest season in your life, whatever you're going through, you need to understand that the Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, Lord God, to speak to our hearts today like only you can. Lord God, you see everything that's going on in our lives, the scary moments, the sad moments, the moments that just make us angry, the confusing moments, the trials and the tests thereof.
Living Hope Assembly of God.